Hello and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah and this is my partner Joey.
Hey guys.
And today we'll be talking about the casual word often flung around, something we all strive towards, and that is balance. But more specifically, we're going to be discussing how to strike a balance in med school.
Yes, thank you, Deborah. Today's topic is something that's often alluded to and something that we often speak about, but how often do we reach balance? How does one strike a balance in med school? Fortunately, we have two bright minds joining us in studio today that are going to help us answer this difficult question. We are honored to welcome two colleagues of ours who are both in their fifth year of medicine at the University of Pretoria. Firstly, welcome to Themba Ncube, a dear friend of mine and someone who I hold in very high esteem, a leader of men, and someone whose stress never seems to get the better of. Themba, it's lovely having you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Joy and Debbie, on this awesome platform.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Pleasure is ours.
And secondly, just a warm welcome to Paula Edwards, an academic giant, co-class leader, and in most of our eyes, the model medical student, who is also just maybe the most kind and caring person that you'll ever meet in your life. It's lovely to have you here.
Hi, Debbie and Joey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Paula, let's start off with you. Striking a balance often starts with forming good habits. These include learning and personal habits. Could you tell us more about some habits that you formed personally and that has aided you in your journey thus far in med school?
Yeah, so a lot of my habits in terms of studying started in matric, where during middle of matric I kind of went through a bit of a slump and a lot of anxiety and stress, and what really helped me was to develop coping mechanisms where I could identify my stresses but also know how to manage them. And so a lot of what came out of that was developing things like timing study times, timing breaks, making sure that I went for walks with my parents, and I kind of took that through to varsity. And I think a lot of that I combined with really just making sure that I eat well, stay healthy, and also find time for exercise. And that's not always easy, I'm not going to lie.
No, definitely. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, like, I think part of coping mechanisms is sometimes suppressing and prioritizing. But yeah, at the end of the day, I really do try to keep reminding myself of what is actually important. And
that's actually really quite profound, to be honest with you, because I think it is very difficult. Sometimes you get yourself stuck into these situations where it is just like a high load of stress, but you have to, as you said, sometimes you have to suppress and just prioritize what needs to be done right now, and then you can deal with the mess of everything else a bit later.
Yeah, literally.
Prioritizing, guys.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an expert at it. Not in the slightest, but Themba, what are some of the good habits that you have formed over the past couple of years to help you cope with studying med?
Well, Joey, I think I'll start off with something of a bit of a lighter note. One of the personal habits that I think have really helped me is I take every Friday off.
Oh,
and
wow.
But what I mean by that is
being a Friday, Friday.
Usually you fulfill all the obligations you have during the day, but I just believe it's important for myself just to know, okay, I've had this week. So I can reward myself by, say, watching a movie, hanging out with some friends, something like that. I think it just gives you a sense of normalcy, because sometimes, especially with medicine, things just get all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice to have, you see, a whole evening off just to yourself. And then usually we're studying on the weekends as well. Mm-hmm. So when you get into your studying, you can be a bit more confident with that.
And it's something to look forward to.
Exactly.
It's definitely something to look forward to.
Exactly.
You don't want to live for the weekends, but it does end up Friday.
Okay, so Themba, you were elected as chairperson of your residence, House Ukutula, in your fourth year. And this is it's a very, very tough year in medicine, as it both entails clinical rotations as well as having afternoon class, which are not based on the same subjects, might I just add. So how did you manage to balance your leadership role and your strenuous academic demands?
Well, Debbie, I will admit in the beginning it was very difficult.
Mm.
It's just because both things are new.
Yeah.
In the sense that in fourth year we have now these clinical rotations in the morning and class in the afternoon, and they don't usually they're not usually the same thing.
Yeah, they do not correlate.
And there's a lot of things people don't account for when they start these clinical rotations, like the traveling, the early mornings, just knowing where to go in the hospital. You just like,
yeah.
You're completely lost. So I think one of the things that helped me was getting advice from guys that have done it. So all the guys like Willem, you know, those kind of gents that were also chair in their fourth year. And then it's just adjusting to the schedule and having to prioritize the free time you have more. So if you get a gap open about 2 hours, you say, okay, I need to use this 2 hours to study, and having a general overview of your schedule, because there will, a lot of the times with being chairperson and stuff, there's obligatory things that you have to do.
Yeah.
So knowing that, okay, I'm going to need to be here on this day.
Yeah. Like knowing that upfront. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think also the other thing in that leadership role is having a good team. And I think I really had a great team next to me. So it made a lot of things more easier when guys know what they need to be doing and you're not really doing babysitting. And then sometimes also just a bit of luck that you hope that, because you do have to, with the academics, maybe have to spot a bit.
Yeah.
Because you just don't have the time to cover everything.
Mm. Yeah.
So just making the most of the time you have to study. And then once you're used to the schedules, it's all good.
I think it's that's a very important point that you make. It does come down to managing expectations and managing yourself. You are essentially managing yourself. And if you can have that foresight into, you know, what's going to happen, you can kind of like get your plan together and get a bit more organized and be more productive. Exactly. At the end of the day. So, Paula, you stayed in the female residence, Kalitzia, for the duration of your studies. And you plan on doing so for the rest. How have you managed to balance participating in these res-related events, and how has this benefited you?
Sure. Well, I'm not going to lie. First year and second year, me was not super involved in res activities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely changed a lot in these past like 5 years of medicine. Like I said, first year me was super tunnel vision, always working.
Just academics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a few things here and there, but like only when I felt that time allowed it, rather than prioritizing it over studies. And in the long run, I do regret that. Mm. But luckily, I turned around a little bit in third year, and I participated in SARI, and literally one of the best times of my life. Like, I always miss it when I think of it, when I hear the songs coming on. And
you do the little dance.
Yeah, literally.
You never forget those songs from Sam.
They do ingrain themselves.
Definitely. And yeah, and I think one of the special things about res is that it is an environment that you feel safe, you feel comfortable, and you also feel like you can choose to what degree you want to participate.
Yeah.
So I think during the different stages of my life, it gave me what I needed, whether I participated or not.
Yeah.
And through that, I've really enjoyed the time there. I mean, there's a reason I'm still there.
But that's really, it's like really lovely to hear that, you know, kind of like almost like the growth process that you've been through, because I think we've all at some stage you've had to go through it, where you've had to sit down and be like, is medicine going to be my entire life?
Definitely.
Or, you know, am I going to, because if your worth is tied to medicine, it's a very dangerous place to be. Yeah. And I think a lot of us coming out of high school, that is what we generally were like. Our worth was tied to our marks. And then medicine can really hand it to you. So I think it's something everyone on your personal journey and your personal growth and development, you kind of have to go through, and you have to sit down and make that decision. Like, yes, I want to be a good doctor. This is why I'm doing this, but there's also more to me than just this.
Yeah, no, definitely. 100%. More to life than just
studying.
And sitting behind the books.
Yeah.
But yeah, there comes a time when you got to look at your study habits that you were talking about, Paula, and then, and realize this is actually, as much as I'm learning, this isn't good for my mental health.
Yeah, definitely.
I need to interact with people. I need to be physical. And even if I'm behind on my studying, you still need to prioritize that things. And I've been finding myself sometimes in this lockdown especially, that I haven't been working out, I haven't been going on a walk with my parents, and then I try study the whole day, and it'd be the worst day of my studying.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite depressing actually. You wake up in the morning and be like, oh, I just have to study today. Yay.
just feel horrible. Roll out of bed, study. At least like if you go on a walk and you're refreshed and like, okay, now I can.
It's, otherwise it's not really much to look forward to, you know. Like, I mean, the work is interesting and it's great, but also, with the nature of the degree, you're put under so much pressure that you can't always enjoy it. Yeah. So then.
It's kind of like you're force feeding yourself. Yeah. Like, I've got to do this work right now.
Yeah.
Paula. You've also had a lot on your plate lately, from being co-class leader in an unprecedented and challenging time period of online learning due to the COVID crisis. You're also co-founder of the plant-based journal or plant-based diet journal of South Africa with James Benningfield. You've consistently achieved amazing academic results throughout your studies. Would you elaborate on how you manage to balance your time? Is the secret maybe your plant-based diet that you're following?
Well, I definitely believe that my veggies give me a lot of kind of, they give you the, so there's a lot of things that help you to manage in life. I mean, it's the classic biopsychosocial thing that we learn in medicine, and I think we can apply it a lot to ourselves. Like, when your body is healthy, you create a platform and a vessel where your mind can be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think definitely the plant-based eating has helped me a lot in that sense. And also, like, before I became officially vegan, I was predominantly veggies and everything like that. But past that, I think what I try to do, and I have done this the majority of my life, is that I have to remind myself why I'm doing this. You know, the core, the reason why you started it, the reason why you're here, the reason why you want to achieve. And I think, so for example, in terms of studying in general, medicine has always been a huge passion of mine, and I need to remind myself that, and like Debbie said, like, often the work is fascinating and it's interesting and you love it, but the nature of how we're tested, when we're tested, the pressure often pushes that down a lot, and it turns something that could be a positive stress into a negative stress. And I think when you start getting to that period where you're feeling more overwhelmed than you are feeling motivated, then I think it's a really good idea to remind yourself, like, why am I here? Like, why do I want to do this? What is, like, what is the end goal? The end goal is to become a safe, a competent doctor that people can rely on and that can be like an advocate and a server of your patients.
That's inspiring.
That is.
That's amazing. Thank you for that answer.
Wow.
Throwing out the deepest. No, I really, I think what you're saying is so incredible. And I think to be able to understand what you're saying is, when you do understand what you're saying, it's profound. It really, really is profound. And it's like hitting the nail exactly on the head, because you will get many times where you're just like, I don't want to do this and I don't want to push through, and you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, and that's when you kind of have to sit back and be like, okay, like, what do I want from this? And that's where you'll find your motivation, because I think it's very difficult to find your motivation in many other places.
Have a look at the big picture.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so often in times, this degree can cause us students to feel under constant pressure and stress, as we've discussed, and often lead to detrimental side effects such as anxiety and depression or even substance abuse. So seeing as we recently just had the Crazy Socks for Docs Day to raise awareness for mental health issues among medical professionals, Timber, what do you do to personally protect your mental health?
Well, Debbie, I think when I think back to the past almost 5 years being in medicine, I've learned a lot about, I'd say, my own personal mental health, because I feel when you're in high school in that kind of sheltered environment, and, you know, when you're still staying with your parents, it's not as difficult, if one can put it like that. The first big thing I struggled with in firm, our first year, was actually a sense of an imposter syndrome.
Okay.
So at times I would look around and say, but am I really good enough to be here? You know how difficult it is to get into this degree in the first time. And as soon as you step into that first chemistry class or whatever, and you look around, you're on a level playing field. Everyone is just as great as you were, if not better, you know, and you kind of think to yourself, gee whiz, am I cut out for this? Is this me? And that is a thing that, you know, was quite difficult for me. But then I just, with protecting my mental health, I like to remind myself of the simpler things. And one of the ways I do that is I think of my granny, actually. and how when I would tell her, oh, I'm off to university or studying medicine, like the concept of university is so, it's kind of beyond her. She sees me as this guy working, becoming a doctor. And to see how proud she is, and especially for some of us, you know, my brother is the first university graduate in my family, and I'm going to be the second. So it's something very new. And when I think of my parents, how they're so proud of me, my sister, my brother, and the people around me, those are the kind of things that gives me that joy, and it lifts me up. And everyone's mental health, how you experience it, is unique to you. So you can't invalidate someone else's experience just because you don't experience the same thing. And I think that's very important when we talk about this, so that we can actually meet this mutual understanding and be like, you know what, I get what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, it's the simple things. For example, in university, I try to always watch football, like my team play, because it's just something to take your mind off things. It's very calm. It's something that you found pure pleasure from as a child. So you still get, I still get that same kind of feeling that I used to get when I was 8 years old watching.
The butterflies. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's just about, you know, also being active. I've always felt that just playing a game of a five-a-side soccer or something like that, I always feel in the best mood afterwards. Like Paula said, the eating well as well. Because a lot of the time you can get into a bit of a study routine and fast food is just there, Uber Eats, everything. You're like, no, I'm just going to get it. You're just like, no, I don't have time to make food. But actually, even the process of just making food is so rewarding and refreshing. And one thing that's really also been great for me this year is staying in a commune. We cook dinner for each other from Monday to Thursday. And that period of eating dinner with other people, be it 45 minutes of just having a chat, you know, going through how was your day and so on, something a bit different. That always has seemed to lift my spirit. So it's just about, for me, enjoying the smaller pleasures that I always have. And remember, like Paula said, remembering why am I doing this, you know, the bigger picture. And then,
but I think, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it's so incredible to be able to get a view into your life and into, you know, how things are for you. And we all come from such different backgrounds. And just to know that, like, no matter, like, you've made it this far. And I think it's a generalized feeling that a lot of medical students feel. Like, I mean, I didn't apply for medicine coming out of high school. I only came through the BSc program. And also, like, you also feel a huge sense of imposter syndrome, because you're just like, am I worthy? Like, am I good enough? But you get to a point where you're like, you know what? I made it this far. I'm worthy. I'm good enough. And I'm doing pretty well for myself. So give yourself a tap on the back for that, you know?
Yeah, once in a while, you always have to say, well done. Just say well done to yourself.
Yeah.
The smallest thing, just like, you know what, I've gotten this far.
It is about being kind to yourself. It's very important. We're so hard on ourselves, especially with what we study and being used to doing so well. And then, I mean, one test or something, and you can take that out on yourself. And what does it matter? I mean, you are literally just breaking yourself down. You should rather just take it as it comes.
Yeah.
Learn your lesson.
I think it's difficult because medicine can also, as I said, it can hand it to you. So there can be like where you put in a lot of effort for a long time and then you're not always seeing the results. Mm-hmm. But that's like got a lot to do with the nature of how the degree is set up, how they test you. Like that's just a whole nother conversation. But it is difficult. And I think at the end of the day, you just have to, as you said, just remind yourself, like, you know what? It's okay. Take it in its stride. One day at a time. Eventually I'll get there and I'll be the doctor that I'm meant to be.
Timber, you spoke about the dinner that you make there, or the commune you stay in. Timber and I stay in the same commune for all our listeners. but basically, this dinner we have each night, so it's kind of like surrogate family, to be honest.
Exactly.
And what I'm getting at is like having a support structure is absolutely vital towards your success in med school. So, Paula, would you mind telling us a bit about your support structures that you have in place when things seem to get too much?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the classic cliches. So I have my family and I have my friends, and I have my faith. Yeah, and a significant other, which also helps a lot.
They help a lot.
Can't relate to
that. Send a shout out to Babe.
And yeah, like Timber said, I think you really have to prioritize your support structure. So as much as that they're there to help you, you also have to be open to letting them help you, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm. So it's very easy to get so caught up. And like you guys were saying now with the lockdown, we're very fortunate enough to live on a plot. So we have a lot of space to go for walks with the dogs. And literally, like, my dad is a machine. Like, every hour he's like, it's walk time. And like, often you get into a space where you're just like, I need to work, like, I need to finish this, we can't go now. And then, but I've got to a point where I'm like, nope, it's fine, we stop. It literally takes 10 minutes to go for a walk and come back, and it's, you feel refreshed, you feel better, and you don't get trapped in that vicious, like, dark mm-hmm. circle of
need to study, just, yeah, need to consume yeah. work.
And that feeling of absolute guilt, like, when you, mm. yeah, because we don't always talk about that, but you feel very guilty sometimes. Yeah.
And like, I actually wanted to say now what you guys are speaking about in terms of coming into medicine, and like, I think everyone goes through the same, I mean, practically on a daily basis. It's like, mm-hmm. am I good enough? Like, mm-hmm. what if, like, you're not actually meant to be here? What if, like, you know, I just wanted to say, like, everyone's heard this before, but I think it needs to be said and reminded, because I think this culture of, like, medicine being a constant competition probably won't go away. But something that my friends and I often have to remind each other of is that comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And like, I think a big thing is realizing that at the end of the day, it's great to achieve, it's great to be a cum laude at the end of the degree, but what does that actually matter in the bigger scheme of things? Like,
if you're so unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, it doesn't matter at the end mm-hmm. of the day. Like, as long as you are putting in that effort and you know that you have the skills to help people, no matter what a piece of paper says, I think that's important. And yeah,
can't take away the passion in our yeah. hearts to help people yeah. as much as
I think exactly. you know. And I think one thing that we should definitely highlight is that you should never. You should always be grateful for the support that you have, because mm. it's honestly, it's so critical, because I know I would not make it through medicine without the support that I have. And I'm very, very, very blessed and lucky to have a family that does support me. Not everyone does. Yeah. And I think it's like understanding your privilege in those aspects, or understanding the privilege that you have to have the friends that you have to be there to support you. Because some people don't have that. And honestly, my heart bleeds and breaks for them. Mm.
I really like what you said, Paula. The comparison is the thief of joy.
No, it's true. At the end of the day, the only person that you should basically be competing with is yourself. You need to.
But in a healthy manner.
In a healthy manner. Yeah. Because it can get toxic. It can definitely get toxic. Definitely. But I think it's, as I was saying earlier, it's the nature of who we essentially are. We came out of high school. We were the most competitive people in high school. It's
damn
like
type A person.
Literally, yeah. like, we're a breed.
A swarm of us just everywhere.
We're not good together.
No. And that's the worst thing, is because the competition, I haven't felt it get nasty, thankfully, mm-hmm. because I think of the friend group that I'm surrounded with mm-hmm. and the people I'm surrounded with, but it can lead to a place where it does get nasty, and mm-hmm. It's just too toxic. So I think it's, mm-hmm. once again, just taking a step back and not measuring your worth to your marks. So Timber, take us through a given week of yours with your usual clinical rotation and class, and just tell us about some of the things that you do other than medicine in the week.
Well, it's been a while since all this lockdown and stuff happened, mm-hmm. so can't remember life before lockdown.
Yeah.
But Debbie, I think if I can think back to a more exciting week than the usual, when there's no impending test on a Friday and the stress isn't killing you.
When does that ever?
Thanks for a good weekend.
It does. Mm.
Exactly. But, one of the things we have been doing this year was playing indoor football, which I enjoyed quite a lot. We were playing on Tuesday or Wednesday, I mm-hmm. think. That was quite enjoyable. Just always nice. And it's a nice time to catch up with other people you wouldn't usually see. So guys in younger years and stuff like that. So that was quite enjoyable. And then just normal stuff, you know, tending to our herb garden.
Oh, yes, they have a herb garden. I'm so proud of it.
You know, having those dinners that we do. So sometimes when it's my turn to cook, you know, doing that, playing darts, Yeah. We have way too much sports equipment there by where you stay.
So it's a nice way of procrastinating. I don't feel as guilty as after playing some sport than being on Instagram for 2 hours running through meaningless memes.
Yeah, you always excuse it because you're like, at least I'm being healthy and being active.
There we go.
At the end of the day, it does feel productive doing something active, even if it does waste your time a bit.
And yeah, usually on the weekend, I think we'll get together, hang out, some of the mates, you know, stuff like that. Again, you know, we don't have that much free time in between rotations and class and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So when we do, we try and make the most of it and see what we can do. We've done some, you know, the area we stay in is quite nice for walking. You can also go and walk around
there. That's nice. Mm, yeah,
beautiful streets.
Yeah.
Just kind of escape, you know, escape that is medicine. But I think it is, like, it is important to definitely block out time. So as you say, you block out your Friday. For me personally, I block out my every second Saturday morning, and that's when I'll go and, like, do one of my habits. Not my habits. What do you call it?
Give you that. That's not so sketchy, my habits.
Crazy ones. No, I'm kidding. My hobbies. And it's just kind of to remind you that the world is bigger than you, and the world is bigger than your medicine bubble, because I think sometimes you're so integrated into it that you forget that there's a whole other life happening.
Yeah, you just have to, it's a cliche thing to say, but I guess I have to say, you have to find time to enjoy yourself, you know, and like Paula was discussing about her support structures, you need to make time for these people as well, you know, because as much as they support you, you need to support them as well.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate that I get to stay with five of my closest friends. So, you know, it's also quite nice that I have that instantaneous support right there and the breakaway. So you kind of always have someone that will want to do something with you. So you say, hey, how about you go do this?
And then they jump on the train with you.
And they're very easily hyped. As if you can hear Joey, then, you'll know.
I don't need a lot of excuse to.
So they always want to hop aboard and do something.
But it's also nice to have someone that understands. Because I think that's another thing. Like, I know I come home some days and I'm literally, like, forbidden to talk about what I've seen today at the dinner table, because it's too tragic. Like, it is too tragic, and you need to have that space to debrief, and you need people to debrief with. So once again, to have those friends that are also going through this with you, definitely has its pros.
That's why I would recommend carpooling on the way back from hospital.
It's always a lot of fun. So I think just from our side, we just want to say thank you guys so much for coming in today. Honestly, this is been a remarkable conversation. I think it's one that definitely needs to be heard and shouted from the hilltops for every medical student to hear. So thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us, guys.
No, thank you for having us.
The pleasure is only ours. It's been profound, insightful, and I feel like I'm learning so much by doing these podcasts.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everyone, just go listen to it. You could block out my annoying voice, but there's some really interesting points that are being made here.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you so much to our dear listeners. We really, really appreciate the time that you guys also take to listen to this content. We hope it's helpful. We hope it's informative. If you have any questions, queries, compliments, just criticisms, drop us a message. Let us know how you feel, and let us know if we can help you. Thanks, guys. That's all from us. Bye.
That's us. Bye.